Hello again and welcome to Pick Yourself, the podcast that helps you build a meaningful electronic music career. If your goal is to create and release outstanding music on respected labels, get better bookings and grow a tribe of true fans instead of just social followers, then this show is for you. My name is Philip, thanks for tuning in, and now let's get right into today's episode. Welcome to episode 38 of Pick Yourself. I hope you've had a great week. I'm super happy to have you here with me again as my esteemed listeners. So thanks a lot for tuning in every single week. And in case you're a new listener, welcome to the pack. You can meet other like-minded producers in our private Facebook community. You go to pickyourselfpodcast.com/community and that will forward you to our private Facebook group. We help each other, we support each other, we have cool discussions going on, we share resources. I'm also there and I'm answering your questions there, so make sure you say hello at pickyourselfpodcast.com/community. And for the ones who are serious about building a meaningful long-term artist career, taking the right steps and so on, I have something for you. It's called The 7 Strategies of Highly Successful Electronic Music Artists. And that is a free PDF guide. You can get it at pickyourselfpodcast.com/free. And in this guide, I'm sharing with you the things that have helped my most successful studio clients stand out from the rest. So if that's you, if you're ambitious, if you want to build something meaningful, go to pickyourselfpodcast.com/free and check out this free guide. All right, now let's jump into this week's topic. And I have picked something very, very dangerous to talk about because it's something that we usually don't talk about. It's ghost producing. So, ghost producing techno and house, the new normal or the death of our scene? That is the question that I would like to answer in this podcast episode. And it wasn't very easy to find a lot of resources for that topic. It's like people are hiding behind the scenes, people are not sharing these things publicly, so therefore it was really hard to dig deeper into that mysterious aspect of our world. So why is it important to talk about this? Well, whether you like it or not, it seems to become more and more normal to hire a ghost producer when you want to transition from a pure DJ career to a DJ producer career. So some DJs at a certain point, they hit some kind of glass ceiling. They have constant shows, they are getting booked and so on, but for some reason it doesn't develop into something bigger. And the reason is it's hard to stand out as, in parentheses, just a DJ. And so they think it's good for the overall artist brand to also go into producing. Another problem here is you cannot just quickly jump into producing. That's impossible. It's just way too hard to do. You have to learn complex tools. You have to learn a little bit about, at least basic music theory aspects. You have to find out how to maneuver a DAW, like Ableton or Cubase or Logic. And that stuff is not super easy to do. So it also takes a lot of training to write songs. It takes a lot of training to finish something that is bigger than just a loop. And all of these things together seem daunting to some DJs. And they just think, why bother with learning complex tools and techniques over many years when you can simply outsource it today, right? So why not just hire a ghost producer that produces music exactly in the desired style, fitting the kind of labels that you want to be associated with? And all you have to do is take care of the rest of your artist brand and also your DJ gigs. And believe it or not, to some people, that is a legit way of growing their career. I respectfully disagree, or maybe I don't have that much respect, to be honest. But let me dig a bit deeper into that topic first. So first of all, let's define what ghost producing actually means. So when we're talking about ghost producing, we mean the act of composing, arranging, and producing a song for somebody else. And this song is going to be released on that artist's name without any credit of the work of the ghost producer. And that is really important because this is why he or she is called a ghost. That person is invisible to the public. It happens behind the scenes. Now, ghost producing techno and house music is usually done with a flat fee per song or an hourly fee for the ghost producer's time. Usually it's yeah, the flat fee, because that's way easier to control for the artist who's paying. And in most cases, the original composer, who is the ghost, does not participate in any royalties whatsoever. And sometimes there is like a shady behind-the-scenes deal going on in regards to royalties, but usually that's not the case. And to be honest, for me personally, it was a bit hard to come up with any positive aspects of ghost producing. So I did a bit of research to see if other people write something positive about that. And luckily, believe it or not, the German version of DJ Mag has published an article called, I'm translating now, Ghost Producing, Not Everything's Wrong With It. Yeah, and the author lists some hilarious positive points about ghost producing. The first point he mentions, or she mentions, I'm not sure, is without ghost producing, we wouldn't have many of the great dance music anthems we're enjoying now. Okay, the second point was, and consumers benefit from higher quality tunes. And the third point was, it's a win-win for both parties, the DJ as well as the ghost producer. Now, sorry, I can't resist. Here's my take on these points. First of all, I believe that nobody will truly miss these half-hearted tunes that were made purely with a commercial end goal in mind. So when they're talking about dance music anthems, they're probably speaking of high-class EDM songs, I don't know. Then I believe that end consumers want to be part of a tribe and truly believe in an artist and his or her abilities, and nobody wants to be lied to. Yeah, so okay, if something's just shallow background music, okay, they maybe don't care. But overall, we all look for some kind of belonging to a certain group of people. We define ourselves through the music that we're listening to. And so if you find out that one of your favorite artists is actually using a ghost producer, wouldn't you feel betrayed? I certainly don't want to feel that way. And last but not least, I think it's a lose-lose for both parties, because the DJ will most likely feel like a fraud for the whole time of his or her career, and the ghost producer will regret it when the track suddenly gets popular and someone else gets all the credit, not to mention the royalties. So yeah, I don't really agree with these positive aspects, to be honest. But let's look at this in a bit more nuanced way still. The problem with ghost producing electronic music is this. So our scene has long been driven by a strong underground movement. And in the last decades, these genres have gone in and out of fashion several times. And right now, after the rise of mainstream EDM, we're seeing just another one of those waves. Yeah, so suddenly the once underground genres of techno and house are becoming super popular again. And you can see this when even niche labels are getting a stage on popular mainstream festivals. So it works like this. The festivals book a certain label group or a certain artist collective or whatever it is to host a stage on their festival. And that is like a mini festival inside that festival. And the festival tries to position itself a little bit more cool and underground by doing this. So it's more or less a branding or marketing exercise, first of all. And so what has happened is that these new opportunities have popped up with the whole professionalization and commercialization of underground dance music. So suddenly, things like social media channels, Instagram and so on, they allow upcoming artists to grow a significant following based on more visual factors and storytelling rather than outstanding music. Hello, Insta DJ discussion. There is, by the way, a show on the whole topic of Instagram and DJ, so listen back to that if you want. And still, nothing of this, of these new opportunities, works without any music at all. And this is exactly where the problem starts. The scene still needs fresh music, of course, and artists still need some music. Otherwise, they would just be models and not musicians at all. But that's exactly the problem here. The barrier to DJing, to entering this world of DJing, is much lower compared to producing your own music. And upcoming artists are facing a lot of competition. I hate that word, by the way, but they're seeing it as competitions if they see a lot of other DJs around them. So everyone in their neighbor is a DJ in techno and house music. So yeah, especially here in Berlin, like the city is so crowded with DJs, you cannot even look left or right without seeing one. So the logical step for many artists is to move from DJing to producing, because that means a little bit less competition. So a DJ who also knows how to produce, a DJ who also releases his or her own music, is worth more these days. Yeah, and some people who are pure DJs might disagree with that view, and I respect that. But that is the thing that I've observed. Like, you're facing less competition, it's a little bit harder to do, and therefore, yeah, it's a logical step to go into producing. And while the vast majority of DJs are truly interested in exploring the art of music production, there is still this questionable group of people who tries to game the system somehow. They don't want to spend the time and energy to learn music production, so they decide to hire a ghost producer. And don't get me wrong here, the majority of DJs who transition into music production do it in an honest way still. Yeah, so kudos to you if you have done this recently, if you try to learn music production while being a DJ first and foremost. That's a great thing, and I really respect that step. But let's take a closer look at the small minority of people who hire a ghost producer. The question is, can ghost producing electronic music really give you the desired results as an artist? Now, let me show you a little example here that just happened to me last week. So, as you might know, my day job is mixing and mastering electronic music, and I also do some coaching for people. And last week, some guy contacted my studio, and he's a relatively small, unknown DJ, and he asked whether I wanted to support him getting his first release finished. And so, first of all, he's a super nice guy, as far as I can tell from the conversation. And I'm actually interested in helping him find his way in the industry. And this is also why I took a lot of time to respond to his messages and so on, to explain my thoughts behind this. And so I'm going to sum up the conversation briefly for you. I will keep his identity confidential, of course, and I will kind of mesh together several emails in just one paragraph, so it's easier for you to follow. So his message was more or less like this. Hey there, I'm a DJ currently and I plan to release my first tracks this year. I'm looking for someone to help me with this. My goal is to transition from a DJ to a legit artist and build a team around it. This way I can get more gigs, play bigger stages, build a brand, and ultimately make it big. Unfortunately, I don't have any real experience with music production, mixing and mastering, so I need someone to produce the tracks for me in the desired style. The level of quality needs to be suitable for labels like Dynamic, Katamucke, Parkett, and so on and so forth. Would you like to support me here? Best, Simon. And Simon is not his real name, of course. So here's the issue with messages like this. People are looking for a shortcut to success. But the harsh truth here is that if you want to create a meaningful long-term artist career, there simply is no shortcut. Especially not when it comes to the creative process itself. You have to choose the hard way here. There's no way around that. And the problem starts with the goal setting process. So when your goal is to make it big, as Simon wrote in his message, you're not choosing the path of an artist. You're choosing the path of fame. And that is not necessarily the same thing. It can be the same thing, but only if you put in the work. And yes, the music industry is an industry, and there's nothing wrong with earning money from your art. The question is how you do this. And ghost producing electronic music definitely is not a great option if you care at least a little bit about that scene and the people who live and breathe this type of music. And think a little further here. You might enjoy the daydream of playing big festival gigs and releasing on respected labels and so on, but how would it actually feel playing tracks with your name on it that haven't been written and produced by you? What happens when somebody finds out it wasn't you who wrote these tunes? What would your true fans say if they found out? And let's compare this with mainstream pop. In my opinion, techno and house have an honesty problem because mainstream pop in this regard is way more honest. In my opinion, your fans deserve to know whether you've truly written that song or not. If you haven't and you're open about it, then that's maybe okay. Some of those fans won't care. They simply like you as a DJ or as an artist personality or maybe even as an Instagram influencer, I don't know. They love your sets for whatever reason. You inspire them and that's good. if you are honest with them. The ones who do give a damn about who produced the music will walk away from you and be more interested in other artists who genuinely compose their music, and that's also fine. But that's the problem here. We don't have that honesty when we're using ghost producers, because with ghost producer, you're essentially lying to your fans. Now, let's compare that with mainstream pop. Artists like Rihanna, Justin Bieber, or whoever is the latest starlet most likely don't write all of their music alone. But at least they're honest about it. Original writers and producers get credited, and they participate in performance royalties. And one could argue that the deal sometimes isn't always super fair, but that's a case-to-case discussion. Yeah. And even if you look back at the 1960s, Berry Gordy and his famous Motown record label, they pioneered the way hits get made today. So they locked a bunch of super talented professional musicians into studios, switch players from time to time, and get as many great tunes out of the session as possible. And that is exactly how a songwriting camp basically works today. And I've stumbled upon a little BBC article where pop music starlet and Rihanna songwriter Ray describes the process of how these camps work. So here's the quote. They book out a studio and they basically get a couple of really, really good producers in three different rooms, and they just send writers that they love in to write for the Rihanna project. It's really fun, but you know it can be difficult because you're just thrown in with people you don't work with before. And yes, Rihanna herself most likely also participates in these songwriting camps. Yes, she writes her own lyrics from time to time, and she also writes some melodies and experiments with vocal top lines and so on, and gives kind of a creative direction of the whole thing also. But yeah, she's honest about that. If you look at the credits of these famous songs, then you can find out who originally wrote parts of the song and who didn't. Yeah. Now, do Rihanna fans care if she wrote all the music herself or not? No, they don't give a damn, because she's a very influential person, they like the way she performs and sings and so on, and that's enough for most of her fans. And they are not being lied to. That is the most important thing here, honesty. And when you then look at the techno and house scene, it's kind of a scandal, because some big name DJs, and I'm not going to mention any names here, I won't start that discussion, they are essentially lying to their fans, hiring ghost producers, never crediting their work, and pretending to have written and produced these songs. And that's a shame, I believe. And what I would like to achieve with this episode is I want to make a difference with that. I want to make an impact within our scene and help people like Simon, the guy who contacted me for ghost producing. I want to help people like him to understand that this is not a viable way. This is not the way you can build a meaningful artist career. Even if some people in the bigger league are doing this, or you hear at least about them doing this, this is not the best option for you. And let me show you why. So there are three big downsides of ghost producing techno and house. And if you're a DJ trying to build a reputation as an artist and music producer, please don't try to game the system and take shortcuts by hiring a ghost producer to write your tunes. There are many potential downsides to this approach, but I've just picked the three most critical ones in my opinion. So the first big downside is you will feel like a fraud for your whole music career. So ghost producing techno and house usually works like this. You hire an experienced producer to create tracks in your desired style, and in the beginning, you're lying to yourself already. You might feel like you're in creative control of the project. You are kind of a big shot now, building a professional team, outsourcing work and so on. You might even call yourself something like the creative director of that project and so on. And I mean, in the end, you're the one who decides in which direction the track goes. You provide reference songs, you give feedback, and you work closely with the ghost producer to find the right approach. But then comes this awkward moment. This moment when other artists who genuinely produce their own music want to talk to you about things like songwriting, music production, arrangement, mixing, and so on. And maybe for superficial conversations, your knowledge is sufficient. But what happens when you go one level deeper? What if someone finds out that you have no clue what sample rate or bit depth mean, for example? And that's just the technical side of things. There's many more on the creative side as well. What if you sit down with another artist in front of an Ableton session and you don't even know how to switch from session view to arrangement view? even if you've stated before that this is the DAW of your choice, in which you produce all your tracks. I can't imagine anyone who would enjoy this feeling over the course of an artist's career, and it's most likely going to feel like having a corpse lie in your background, buried somewhere in your garden. So someday someone will find out, and then you're screwed, and you will always fear this moment when somebody will find out. Now, the second big downside is you are missing out on massive PR and promo opportunities. So if you're considered a talented music producer and you have a couple of good releases out on respected labels, then magazines and blogs will start to knock on your door. They would like to ask you about production process, what pieces of gear you're using, what inspires you to write these awesome tunes, and so on. And guess what? There's no chance you can accept these PR opportunities if you've worked with a ghost producer, unless you totally want to embarrass yourself. And also, what about your social media channels? Yes, I mean, even if you fired a ghost producer, you can still sit in front of an Ableton session and zoom in. And yeah, even if somebody else has produced that session for you, you can still sit in front of that and throw your fist in the air, doing your Instagram story, pretending you've done all the work. But is that an interesting look behind the scenes? Well, I don't think so. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, artists who produce their own tracks and live stream the production process, do Q&A sessions with their fans, like for example Kyle Geiger does right now. That is super powerful. That is much more powerful compared to ghost producing and then showing like, oh, this is my Ableton session, and talking about something that you don't really know how it came to life. Now, downside number three is you are running away from a chance to grow. And yes, learning music production is a long and sometimes difficult road, but it's also an incredible chance to grow as a person and also as an artist. If you've been DJing for a couple of years, then stepping into the producer game is the logical next phase of growth. You can still become a better DJ, of course, but production knowledge is even going to boost your DJ growth as well. And hiring a ghost producer for your techno or house tunes means you are running away from an opportunity to grow. And that's a mindset problem. If you aren't willing to accept that challenge, what else are you going to run away from? Now, keep in mind that the artists who are most attractive to the music industry professionals are the ones who invest in their growth and are ready to overcome any obstacles. So, yeah, it might take months to create your first decent sounding 8-bar loop. It might take a year until you feel like you've put something together that you can call a full song. And then it might take another year or two until you've created something you're so proud of that you want to release it. But you know what? That's absolutely okay. It needs to be that way. Otherwise, we'd be swamped with even more mediocre music that nobody wants to listen to. You have to choose the hard path. You have to accept that challenge and that chance of growth. And then you automatically qualify yourself for the next big phase in your artist career. Now, let me make a suggestion here on how to move on from this whole ghost producing discussion, ghost writing discussion in electronic music, in techno, in house. So I think we have to move away from ghost producing and maybe be more honest about this and go into a phase of co-producing. So I believe that ghost producing techno and house is absolutely not a viable solution for anyone who wants to launch a serious artist career. I completely dismissed that option. And the question remains whether you can speed up things a bit still. And I've thought about this quite a lot, and here's what I came up with. I think that co-producing can be an option, and what I mean with that is either working on tracks with a producer buddy who is more experienced than you, or hiring a professional to take your song sketches to the next level. But here comes the disclaimer, this is only an option under the following circumstances. So you have to be at the level of writing a full song. And also you should have this basic understanding of at least one DAW, because these things qualify you as a serious collaboration partner. Yeah. If you're still stuck in that 8-bar loop, in that first little bit of experimentation, then it's way too early to call for some help with co-producing and so on. At this level, you should instead take courses or hire a coach or whatever else you can come up with that helps you overcome these first obstacles. So the next important thing here is your goal must be to learn and become better. Because ultimately, you want to write and release your own authentic material. Yeah, even without a co-producer. Then the next thing is, if you work with a professional, pay a professional rate. If you work with a buddy, make sure that person benefits as well from the collaboration. Don't make it a one-way street. So the next important thing here is a fair split of royalties and no shady behind-the-scenes agreements or stuff like that. And that also means all work gets credited properly on the release, as well as on promo materials and social media and so on. So you have to be 100% open and honest about who you collaborated with and what influence that person had on your final release. If we have that honesty, I think nothing's wrong with that. You can speed up your releases, you can speed up the process by hiring a professional or by working with a producer buddy, but be honest about that. It just means that you accept that you're not yet in that phase of producing everything completely on your own. And now, if you want to have my personal opinion on this, I think this is fine in the early stages of your artist career, but if you are really aiming for releasing on respected labels and so on, then this is not going to be enough. They are really looking for people who can produce their full tracks on their own without any help from a co-producer or something like that. So keep that in mind. So all in all, I don't think that ghost producing has any place in our scene. I think we must work together to get rid of that disease. And if you want to support that, then you can do one thing. You can share this episode with your friends, with your peers, with other like-minded producers, because I think it's important to stand behind that idea and that concept of being honest in our scene. That's the baseline of everything. Now, let's put this into action. Honesty instead of ghost producing electronic music. So, this might have been a controversial episode overall, but I stick to my view here. Ghost producing techno and house is not an option if you want to build a meaningful artist career. And there is no shortcut to creating great art. And I can't imagine anyone who would really enjoy living an artistic lifestyle that is based on lies and secret agreements. It's just not possible, in my opinion. So, here are my three action steps for you. Number one, in case you've considered hiring a ghost producer, forget about that plan. Yeah, you're not going to do yourself a favor with this. You don't want to lie to your fans, you don't want to lie to yourself, and you won't enjoy that feeling of feeling like a fraud for your entire career. And in case you subscribe to my view here, make sure you openly express that. Yeah, so talk to other people and say that you are definitely against ghostwriting. You think that ghostwriting should not have a place in our community of electronic music producers. We need your voice. We need that open debate. It's been going on for way too long, I think. Then action step number two, invest in your composition, arrangement, and production skills instead. So in case you're doubting your skill level overall, start investing in courses and coaching, whatever helps you. So there are ways to overcome certain hurdles in your artist career at the moment, in your production skill level. And set aside a specific time slot every day to work on music. Our episode on time management for music producers might help you with that, like how to figure out what the best time slot is in your day. And then action step number three, consider the option of co-producing instead of ghost producing. So if you really feel stuck and you wish you'd see more progress, try collaborating either with a producer buddy or you hire a professional producer or engineer at a realistic rate, and you will be surprised about how much you can learn this way. But here's the thing, make sure you credit the work properly and split royalties, because this is what really separates the ghost producing thing from a co-production. All right, that's it for this week's episode. I hope you got something out of this. And if you want to learn more, go to pickyourselfpodcast.com/free and download my 7 strategies of highly successful electronic music artists. This is a great starting point if you really want to build and grow a meaningful artist career. And this only takes you like 5 minutes to read, but if you take that seriously, it can really change the way you see things. It can impact the way you behave. And yeah, make a difference for your path as an artist. I hope to see you again next week. Happy producing. Until then, bye bye. don't want to miss any of the upcoming episodes, please make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app. And you can find detailed blog posts for every single episode on pickyourselfpodcast.com. Until then, see you next time.